This is Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in the city of Philippi, and they cast a devil out of a girl. And her masters had Paul and Silas arrested. Acts 16:16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace before the rulers. They brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They stripped them naked and hid their clothes. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They threw them in the bottom of the jail. And suddenly at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Today I want to talk about praising God at midnight. Praising God at midnight. I read an interesting article in the Washington Post a couple years ago about Olympic athletes, and this is what researchers discovered. They found out that bronze medalists were happier than silver medalists. And in case you missed that, gold is first, silver is second, and bronze is third. But in this study, done over the course of 24 years, they found out that people who won bronze medals were more satisfied than people who won silver medals. And this is how they explained it. Silver medalists focused on how close they came to the gold, that they weren't satisfied with the silver medal. But bronze medalists were so focused on how close they came to not winning anything that they were very happy with a bronze medal. This reveals a powerful truth about human nature, is that your focus determines your reality. Let me say that again this morning. Your focus determines your reality. That's why people with bronze medals are happier than people with silver medals. Silver is better than bronze. And if you look at their circumstances, the people with silver medals ought to be happier. But it's not about their circumstances, it's about their focus. Your focus determines your reality. In a time where people are focused on a lot of negativity and a lot of bad things, they're focused on fear and panic, let me tell you something this morning. Your internal attitudes are more powerful than your external circumstances. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What a powerful statement. I think all of us know people who can find something good in the worst of situations, but we also know people who can find something negative even in the best of circumstances. And here's a principle that will govern your life, whether you know it or not. You will find what you're looking for. you will find what you're looking for. If you're looking for something positive, you will see the positive. If you're looking for the negative, you'll see the negative. You'll find what you're looking for. And when it comes to focus, there are two basic types of people. There are worshipers and there are complainers. Complainers will always find something to complain about, but worshipers will always find something to praise God about. And here's the thing, you'll be one or the other. You can't be both. Either you'll be a worshiper or a complainer, and the only difference is not your circumstance. The only difference is what you focus on. We tend to see what we're looking for. If you look for it, you'll find it. How many of you remember learning the scientific method in school? Just wave at me if you remember the scientific method. Okay, you come up with a hypothesis, you test the hypothesis, and then you reach a conclusion. Do you know that we do this every day? Every single day, we form a hypothesis about life, only there's nothing scientific about our method. You see, we form a hypothesis, draw a conclusion, and then we look for evidence that supports our conclusion. Okay, it's completely backwards. It makes no sense, but we do this all the time. We make an assumption, and we only focus on evidence that backs up our opinion. Okay? I'll give you an example. You decide you don't like somebody. Well, I just don't like them. What do? You look for everything that's wrong with that person. And you know what else you do? You ignore everything that's good about them. They can rescue a kitten from a burning building, and you'll say, well, they were holding that kitten too tight. Don't you know they hurt that kitten? Why? Because we see what we're looking for. Here's another example. When you're head over heels in love with somebody, you'll look for all the things you like about that person, and you'll ignore all the things you don't like about that person until you get married. Hello. I got a few honks out of that one, I think. All right, but you're in love with somebody, you focus on the good, you ignore the bad, and your best friend's like, why are you dating him? Sir, you know he's a drug dealer. And you're like, no, he's not. He's a pharmaceutical entrepreneur. Come on, you'll see what you're looking for, and you'll ignore any evidence to the contrary. Your focus determines your reality. If you're looking for something to complain about, you'll find it. And that will be the reality that you live in. You'll go through life complaining. On the other side of things, if you're looking for something to praise God about, that will become your reality, and you'll go through life a worshiper. And this is the choice you have to make. Am I going to complain, or am I going to worship God? Because most of us are natural born complainers. And by the way, I think we have a lot we can complain about right now. Disease, debt, poverty, lack, the economy, politics, you name it. There's a lot of things we could worry about, a lot of things we could complain about, but that's why the Bible tells us we have to renew our minds. Every day, and especially in this season, we need to wake up and make up our mind. I'm going to look for something to praise God about today. Listen, you can't control the circumstances you'll face in this life, but you can control how you respond to those circumstances. You can't help the adversity, but you can control your own attitude. You say, well, what does this have to do with worship? What you focus on determines whether you complain or whether you worship. David in the Bible was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiper through and through. And this is what David said in Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David had a made-up mind. He said, no matter what I face, I'm not going to focus on the bad. I'm not going to complain. I will bless the Lord at all times, and I will not stop praising Him. You see, worship is not a reaction to your situation. Worship is the decision to praise God in every situation. And we see this principle in action with Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel in Philippi, and God had confirmed the gospel with miracles. They were preaching throughout the city, and there was a Philippian slave girl, a fortune teller, who followed them around saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." Doesn't that sound nice? Most of us, if somebody was following us around doing that, we'd call the TV stations and the radio stations, and we'd be signing book deals and everything else. But Paul understood that there was more going on than met the eye. You see, her following around and endorsing Paul and Silas made it look like they were endorsing her. You see, it was a deception of the enemy. And the Bible says it annoyed Paul so much that he turned around and cast the devil out of the girl. She was delivered right there on the spot. How would you like to get so aggravated with your coworker that you cast the devil out of them? I dare you to do it when you go to work. Just start casting out devils in Jesus' name. It was a powerful miracle. But remember, when you get excited about Jesus, don't expect everybody else to be excited too. The Bible says that the girl's slave masters got angry because they were losing money. You see, they profited off of this girl's affliction. And I think we've all had people in our lives like that. Some people liked you a whole lot better before you got saved. Hello, they profited off of your affliction. And these people, when this girl got delivered, her slave masters got mad. Look at verse 19. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities." So here they are. They falsely accuse them. They publicly humiliate them. They have them beaten and thrown into prison. Think about how Paul and Silas must have felt in that moment. What started as a great day spiraled into a terrible day. And think about it. They were serving God. They were doing right. They were there to help people. But instead of a thank you, the Philippians dragged them through the streets, humiliated them, beat them, and threw them in a Roman jail. I've never been attacked by a mob before, but I can imagine that they were traumatized, that they were downtrodden and discouraged. They were sitting in a jail cell. Their feet were shackled. Their backs were bleeding. It couldn't get much worse than that. But look at what Paul and Silas did. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Church, that's what a worshiper does. Most people, you put them in that kind of situation, they're going to be complaining, they're going to be crying, they're going to be losing their minds, but not Paul and not Silas. They made up their mind in advance that I'm going to worship God and I'm going to praise Him, even on one of the worst days of their lives. At midnight in the bottom of a prison, they prayed and they sang praises to God. A worshiper is going to worship. A worshiper says it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter if life is good right now or if life is tough right now. I've made up my mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. Instead of thinking about how bad the problem was, they started thinking about how good God is, and they started praising God right in the middle of the mess. Now notice that Paul and Silas, they were in this mess together. Some people say a real friend is a friend who will bail you out of jail. But I say a real friend is the one who's sitting in the jail cell with you saying, "Boy, didn't we have a good time." Paul and Silas, they were locked up in prison together. They were cellmates. And let me ask you, do you have a Paul or a Silas in your life? Do you have somebody who's not afraid to pray and sing praises unto God when you face a midnight in your life? Paul and Silas went through it together. Some of you, the reason why you're so discouraged and defeated is because in your heart, you're a worshiper, but you've surrounded yourself with complainers. You need to stop hanging around a bunch of defeated people and find some people who love to worship God. You need to hang around some praisers. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for somebody. When I say holly, they say Luya. When I say thank you, they say Jesus. I was in the Dollar Tree in Kinston a while back, and a lady walked around the corner, and she said, praise the Lord. And I walked around the other aisle and said, hallelujah. Worshippers will find other worshipers. And here's the thing. Complainers don't understand worshipers. A complainer will look at you and say, your problems are too bad for you to worship. But a worshiper will say, my God is too good for me not to worship. And here's what worship does. It restores the right perspective. It's so easy to get caught up in the problems around us. But worship puts our focus back where it belongs. Worship is focusing on the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. Worship focuses on the fact that when we were at our worst, God loved us and gave His best for us. Worship is a reminder that we don't have to face these problems in life on our own. Worship is a reminder that we are a child of the Most High God. And He will never leave us and never forsake us. Worship reminds us that heaven is my home and there will be no sickness and no sorrow there. Worship restores the right perspective. Was it easy for Paul and Silas to worship God in that prison cell? Absolutely not. Nothing is more difficult than praising God when everything seems to be going wrong. But one of the purest forms of worship is praising God when you don't feel like it, because it's proof that your faith in God is not based on circumstantial evidence. I think about Job in the Bible. Job lost everything. People around him, even his own wife, said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Anybody can worship God when things are great, but there's something so deep and so pure about worshiping God in the midst of adversity. But it's a choice you have to make. Am I going to complain or will I praise God? Do you know what you get when you complain about problems? More problems. But something happens when you worship God in the middle of your pain. When you live a life of worship, there will be times when God sends a suddenly into your life. I love what the Bible says. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Child of God, why would you sit there and complain when you serve a suddenly God? Some of you today, you need to stop pouting and you need to start praising. You need to stop playing into the media and start praying in the Spirit. You need to stop panicking over this sickness and start rejoicing in the God of your salvation. It's time for somebody to pray and sing praises unto God. And when you do, I feel a prison break coming on. Something happens when God's people worship. I know you're sitting in your car or listening online or watching this later, but will you just take a moment right now and worship God? Can we just lift up the name of Jesus today?
It's amazing how the prisoners stayed whenever they were set free. And I've often thought, if I was in that situation, would I have stayed? And all I can think about is, why did they stay? Why did the prisoners stay whenever they were released? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that they stayed because there was something that drew them. There was something that made them want to stay near the presence of God. And that's why they stayed. They stayed because there was something different. That even though they had been free, they stayed because they were around worshipers. And people are drawn to worshipers. They sense when you've been in God's presence. The moment that you open up your mouth, someone can sense complainer yourself, and unbelievers, when they come around you, they need to sense that spirit of worship. They need to sense God all around you, because that is our job. Our job is to spread the gospel and for people to see God's love through us. What are you showing people right now? In the midst where people have lost hope, is what are you showing people? Whether it's just posting on Facebook, what's coming out of you typing? Is it encouragement? Is it love? Are you downer? Or are you worshiping and you showing people the hope and the love of Jesus Christ? And today I'm going to give everybody the opportunity that if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if He's not your Savior, or maybe you've fallen away and there's things going on in your life and you're saying, I need you, God, more now than I've ever needed you in my life. And you're saying, I'm coming home to you, Jesus. All you have to do is believe in this prayer and believe that Jesus died on the cross and repeat it after me. So if you've never done that, or if you're coming back to God today, I want you just to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me and set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. If you believe that, clap in your car, thumbs up online, flash your blinkers, give God some praise. Because you know what? Some of you may be facing a midnight hour, but you know what? God is the chain breaker. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He is the answer. He is the answer for whatever it is that you need. And you know, as we're closing, you know, next week, make sure you invite your friends to join us in the parking lot. We're not going to stop. You can't stop us. We can't stop. Don't stop. We're going to keep on moving forward, whether it's from the parking lot or we're having to go back in time. It doesn't matter, because God is still the same today as yes, He was yesterday, and He's going to be the same forever. He has not changed, no matter what's going on in the world. So just have faith and have hope today when you leave here today, that God has you in the palm of His hands. And when you leave, determining yourself to be a worshiper. Yes. Don't be a complainer. Don't go home and get on Facebook and look at the media and go, oh, I need to stock my pantry because it's doomsday. No, when we believe in God, there is no doom. We win, because at the end of my Bible, it says we win. How many of you know that? Flash your lights. I need some hearts and thumbs up on Facebook, because we win. Yes. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for today. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have been able to come before you, whether it's joined online or sitting in our cars. God, I thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to serve you today, Father. Lord, I pray that you be with us this week as we go about our business, as we're sitting at home, Father, or as some of us are having to go to work, Father. Lord, be with us and guide us, protect us. Lord, help us to have a worshipful attitude, Father, and not an attitude of complaining. God, let people see your light in us. Whenever people come to us who feel like they've lost hope, let us be that beacon of hope that we all need right now, Father. Lord, I just thank you for using us mightily, Father. Lord, that in this season, Father, where the world has made us become isolated, let us as Christians not be isolated, but let us use this opportunity to reach more people than we have ever reached before, because we're going to show the beacon of hope and the beacon of light that you have placed inside of us, Father. God, I thank you that you use us, Father, Lord, mightily. Lord, that every person that comes in contact with us, Father, Lord, that they see your Holy Spirit and your anointing in our life, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for being with us. Let hope rise up in us today, Father, as we end our service, Father. Lord, that not one person will leave discouraged, Father, but Lord, that hope will be breathed into them, that peace and joy, Father. Lord, I just speak that over everybody's life, Father. Lord, that you just be with us this week. Guide us and give us strength. And Lord, we just thank you for today. I thank you, Father, for the ability to come. worship the Almighty God, the God that knows the beginning from the end, the God that is our provider, the God that is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
The God of Jehovah Jireh, Lord, the healer, the miracle worker, the God that knows everything that you need. God, I thank you, Father, Lord, that you are more than enough, Father. And Lord, that in this season where people are seeing decrease, that your people are seeing increase in you, Father. Lord, I just thank you that you bless every household that sits before me, Father. Lord, continue to guide them, give them strength. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for today.